This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. Here with a name you know. You used to know him as NXT's Damon Kemp. You're going to know him as Bobby Stevenson. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. It's great to have you. Listen, I always have a soft spot for amateur wrestlers turned pro wrestlers. Fascinated by the crossover, the transition, all that. But what I got to ask now is how are you feeling now that you are a free agent?
All right, I guess. A lot unknown, but a lot of good things lined up. It was a long 30 days, like a shock also, I guess. You could say that. So now it's just more so just having to get things going, you know, without sitting around a lot, I guess, is what you can say.
So how did that conversation happen? Is it a phone call? Is it them asking you to come into the office, the PC? How are you sort of informed that WWE thinks that right now isn't the time to continue that relationship?
It was a phone call. Yeah, so I don't know. It was leading up to it. I think wrestling kind of has its way of telling you that things aren't going the best. I don't know, without people being direct to you. It kind of got a little weird with, you know, the guys getting to go to TNA, you know, and I was getting left behind that or without even being told that what was going on. But one of my boys told me, so he kept me in the loop with that. You know, I was just, you know, the timing of it wasn't really adding up for me. Like, it was adding up, but it was like, all right, they're doing this, so there must be something going on here. So, you know, and then I was trying to have a conversation. I won't say any names, just a heavily influenced person, part of the show. You know, I was just asking, you know, asked the person a few times, I was like, am I still part of the group? You know, what are we doing? Are we still moving forward? Or, you know, because I knew what my timeline was or when my timeline was up, you know, with the company. And I was just trying to figure it out because, like, you know, I'm from Minnesota and, you know, I drove it. Everyone travels to Orlando, so everyone drives pretty far. So I was just trying to figure it out, you know, moving forward, you know, like, what are we doing? You know, this should be straight. You know, I wouldn't take it personal at all. But no, I was just told everything was great, you know, doing great things. And we were pitched multiple stories that were happening, that were going to happen down the road and stuff like that. But I didn't have anyone to talk to about when it came to the contract, because I guess there was just no one in that category, I guess, to, you know, reach out, whatever. And then I asked the person, I was like, oh, I like to stay. You know, like, I was open to, like, I wanted to stay. It wasn't, like, my choice to be like, oh, no, I'm going to the UFC. I'm going to go do this. And I actually, like, I wanted to resign and be there. You know, I enjoyed it, loved it. It was fun, too. You know, like, I never wrestled or did any pro wrestling before NXT. It was kind of just pretty much just I graduated 2020. And then COVID kind of messed a few things up. And then I signed for 3 years. And then, so that was, like, the only thing I really knew about pro wrestling. But, yeah, like, then like the week later after I had that conversation, I was booked for TV. Yeah, so I was booked to be on TV, and they called me that Monday. And it was like, oh, yeah, we just chose not to re-sign you. And I was like, oh, ouch, stab in the heart twist.
Did they give you a reason or anything like that?
No, I don't think they really give a reason, but I was like kind of like taken off guard.
Sure.
Like, so I didn't know what to really ask, because I knew just from basketball, I have friends, you know, friends that get released and they don't really get an answer either. So I was like, I don't really want to waste my breath. And at the time, I was just sitting at home by myself. So I was like, all right, trying to gather everything, like what happened, like the weeks before, like everything was going great, you know? And then plus like the conversation you had with the person, and then things go like that. And I'm like, dang, you know, that was like doing good, you know? But then it was just, you know, no hard feelings. You know, I said it before, no hard feelings. I'll go back. But it was just like, oh, like, okay, you know.
Yeah, it seems like based on the people that I've spoken to and at least your demeanor here, it is a door is open in the future if the stars align type of thing. Mm-hmm. Have you spoken to anybody there since then about like maybe what they'd be looking for a return, or maybe what could have prevented it?
Yeah, I don't know, because like, well, a lot of people that hire now, they're all they're all high level athletes, collegiate athletes. So I think a lot of us are like used to being coached, like we can take negative criticism. Also, like that comes with being a Division I athlete. You're used to taking negative criticism and then just being told what to do. Like, hey, you need to do this. You need to bust your butt. You know, this will happen. You know, you're working towards this and stuff like that. And then it was more so just like, yeah, I don't remember. I kind of like still lost for words a little bit, I guess.
I mean, there's also for somebody that has had the background that you have as well, MMA is an option. There are a lot of different paths that someone could go down. Is that something that you've ever been interested in or that you're interested in now?
A little bit. Got a little interest in there, but like I said, I was wrestling for 3 years, like pro wrestling for 3 years. Like, you know, you invest so much in those 3 years, like you just don't want to like drop everything. So like that's where I'm at. I don't want to just like go,
of course,
throw away those 3 years and just like go try something else, you know? So I feel like, well, I want to just to keep wrestling. I want to get in with another big company, you know? I like, you know, I want to wrestle everywhere and anywhere, you know? I want to be able to see the world, you know, being with WWE and like NXT, like you get to meet a lot of different people from different cultures and stuff like that. So that was also pretty cool, getting to like see those type of people. So now it's like I want the opportunity to be able to travel to where those people are from, like Japan, you know, the UK, you know, everywhere there's a squared circle I want to be on.
So, I mean, when I would ask about you at the Performance Center, I would hear about how quickly you were picking things up. That sometimes can happen, especially with people with an amateur wrestling background. What things did you find easiest to pick up? Like there were some people that said taking bumps wasn't that hard. I did break falls for most of my life. Was there anything specifically for you that was either easier or more difficult to get into as you got into training?
The easiest thing was definitely just the wrestling. You know, just my whole life being an amateur wrestler, you're used to like grabbing someone, you know how to move on the mat, you know how someone else to move, you know how to pick someone up and put them down without breaking their back or anything like that. And so like the wrestling part, that was like the easiest thing to do, you know, but then obviously like one of the harder things was just like opening up, like being more of a character, because in amateur wrestling, you're just taught to be like straight face, you know, be a sure. killer, you know, don't show any emotion. You show any emotion, your opponent thinks you're tired. You can't show that. So, like with pro wrestling, it was more so just like learning how to open up and just be a character and not really give a crap what other people think, because they want to see that out of you. Because you know how it goes. If you're just being a potato on the TV, people are like, all right, what's this guy doing? I'm like, we don't care about this, you know. So, like, I really worked hard on just like opening up and then just being over the top as I can, because I didn't care about looking. I just learned to not care about looking stupid. And I give a lot of credit to Terry Taylor, because I was in his class for a lot of the time I was at the PC. He was just like, always be over the top. Like, you just be larger in life. Like, if you get punched in the face, you know, just, you know, be over the top, you know? So I, like, him being in his class for, like, the majority of time I was there really helped me just to, like, not give a crap and just, like, be a goofball in there, you know, just be a heel and get your butt whooped when it's time to get your butt whooped and do the best you can as doing it.
You had the unique opportunity to work. Like, you worked a variety of different shows. It was like 205 Live, Level Up, regular NXT, the 2.0 version, I think even UK. How would you compare those environments? I know that some of them that are sort of filmed together have a very similar environment, but there might be like some television constraints that people don't know about. Was there any that you specifically preferred?
Well, obviously live TV. But no, Level Up, and well, it's pretty much the same as 205 Live in my opinion. But obviously, everyone 205 Live was, you know, the cruiserweights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But so like Level Up and stuff like that, I think the show started at like 40 minutes before live TV started, just to give people reps and just put new people out there, or even give like the veterans new, like give them a new person just to work with and. Everyone gets work, you know, getting a good rep. Obviously, the live TV, but obviously, I didn't know how much stress it was until I got onto live TV, which was, like, pretty damn quick, because I did the thing with Diamond Mine, and then those guys were rolling, so I had to get rolling rather quickly, too, or she just looked like a flop out there. So it was more so just, like, I didn't know, like, the time's getting cut during matches, so, like, having to improvise, like, hey, we thought you had 4 minutes, but you actually had two. So let's get going home. Then you got to like think about how you cut your stuff out without making it looking like garbage and stuff like that. So I had to adjust to that pretty quick. And I think that was pretty, I would say that was pretty rough. I think it was like, so I think it was kind of exciting a little bit, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it seemed like you transitioned in and out of that really well. It seems like you adapted to a lot of what was given to you pretty well, but also they certainly understood your strengths and your background, because you know there was Diamond Mine and No Quarter Cash Club and things like that. When you're pitched things like that, how do you feel? How do you respond? Because obviously that's something that's going to be not just right up your alley, but second nature to you.
Yeah, so getting to work with Diamond Mine, the Creeds, like we all had the same background. We all knew each other before we signed, so that was like kind of cool. And me and Brutus actually wrestled in college, so it's kind of cool see, like, yeah, it was kind of cool to be able to like compete with one another, as a sense like trying to rip each other's heads off in amateur, but then you get to come to pro wrestling, like you get to see a whole different side of someone and like get to be able to create with them, and like especially when you get to work with them and like you both want to look the best and whatever we got to do. But and then the same thing with No Quarter Cash, both of the factions were a lot of similar in my opinion, like with when we were doing the stuff with the Creeds and Diamond Mine, we were all really technical. We were portrayed as like real good wrestlers, like grapplers. We'd rather throw you than know you type of people. And then the North Quarter Catch Crew was more so just like feet stay on the ground. We're grapplers. We're going to bend you 20 different ways. So a lot of both groups were kind of similar, but also had their differences also, but both were great groups.
So, during your time, I mentioned like all the variety of NXT shows. You also got to work Main Event. I'm the guy who still watches Main Event at this point. Yeah, so I'm familiar with all these and I love it because I get to see guys from NXT, girls from NXT work main roster people. Mm-hmm. You had the opportunity to work, I believe it was Shelton and Tyler Bate.
Yeah.
On Main Event. What were those experiences like?
So it was like, here's the thing. So, like, every time I have something good going for myself, I always find myself in an obstacle to, like, get there. So, like, when I got the call for Shelton Benjamin, it was a Saturday night. I was in Wisconsin visiting my boy for his birthday. You know, I was only, like, 9 months in.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9 months in. So, I was new. And I didn't know it was a rookie thing to, like, well, don't forget your gear. If you travel somewhere, bring your gear. So I was like, crap. And all right, so I was in Wisconsin. And then I didn't bring my gear. And then I was like, oh, crap. So I had to, they booked my flight to fly back because they wanted me to fly out Sunday. So I flew back to Orlando at like 4 or whatever. Then I had to hop on another flight. I forgot the times, but I just remember getting into, it was Oklahoma, like super, like 2 in the morning. You know, I had to get up the next day. Then I had to wrestle on like my biggest show ever. Cause like, I had no idea what I was in store for. You know, like, keep in mind, I thought the call wasn't going to be a good call because like whenever you see a 2, whenever you see a random 203 number pop up, I was like, bro, like not now, not when I'm celebrating my boy's birthday. Like this can't be happening now. And then so that happened. And then so the match with Shelton, that was like a big, like a match I really wanted to happen because he went to the University of Minnesota.
Of course.
And then I went there too. Then you hear the stories because the coaches that are there now, they used to wrestle with Shelton and Lesnar. So you get to hear all the fun stories and, you know, the back in the college stories and stuff like that. So when I found out I was wrestling him, I was like, oh crap, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be real cool. And then like, this was my first time like actually being able to interact with like the main roster talent. So like I got to, I wrestled Shelton. Where was that? Somewhere in Oklahoma, one of the big stadiums. And I think at the time there was like 14,000 people there. And I was like, oh crap. And I remember William Regal, he was like, before I went out there, he was like, hey, just make sure you breathe. Cause like, you know, being new, like you go out there, you see all of that, you tend to like, you know, choke up a little bit. So before I went out, Regal was like, hey, just make sure you're breathing out there. You're moving, you're thinking, like, don't let the big crowd, shock you. And so that was pretty cool just to have Regal, you know, a part of that also. And then the match with Shelton happened. It was just before that. I keep bouncing all over the place. Edge. That was like the first time I actually got a good conversation with him. And I was like, oh, crap, it's Edge. You know, I was pretty sick. And then he was like giving me like pointers and tips before I went out after. And he helped. He kind of like orchestrated the match with me and Shelton a little bit, you know. And I really appreciate Shelton for doing that too, because he really helped me like display what I could do, even though with being 9 months in, he easily could have been like, oh man, I got to wrestle the young guy. Let me smash him in, you know, 7 minutes. But he really put me on and gave me the opportunity to like really display what I can do and everything like that. And so I really appreciate that. So like back to Edge, you know, I didn't know like the style up there was like a lot slower compared to NXT, because NXT we're always taught to like, go, 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 no movement. Like, I mean, all movement. Don't stay there. You need to go, 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 go. So, like, that's how I brought the style up there to main event. Like, I didn't know anything. So, I was, like, going fast. So, like, right when me and Shelton went to go wrestle, I was moving a little bit faster, trying to move. And he was like, hey, slow down. And I was like, all right. He's like, I tried to go again. He's like, slow down even more. I'm like, all right. And I felt like I was moving like a turtle out there. But I guess, like, just different audience and stuff like that.
Yeah.
NXT audience, those guys, those people there are there every Tuesday. And then versus like you go into the random stadium in Oklahoma, you know, you might get random families that might see it on the Ticketmaster wrestling's in town and then they go. So you got to kind of dumb it down for them. So like going slower, a few punches were a little bit like they were good, but it's too fast. I slowed down. I was like, dude, I'm punching you, but I don't want to look like sloppy. You know, I was the new guy. I was trying to like show out a little bit because I know who was watching in Gorilla. You know, and then so I get back and it was really cool. Edge was like he was the first dude to like meet us behind the curtain. So I was like, like it was just mind blowing for me. You know, 9 months in, you just came off a big match. And then so he gave me a lot of input. So that was pretty cool to be able to do that. And, you know, just to like, I sat in the Gorilla the rest of the night just to like learn. I sat in on people's matches and just to hear them, you know. You want to be a big star, so you got to surround yourself by the big stars. So if you want to be in their position, you got to surround yourself by them. So I'll just listen to what Cody Rhodes was saying or, you know, whoever was playing the match. I'll, like, try to, like, butt in a little bit without making it look like I was butting in, just to, like, you know, hear how the big dogs do it. And then, wrestling Tyler Bate, that was awesome, too. That was actually in the American Airlines Center. That was pretty cool, too. He's great. He's a great talent.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I love his style. I love the Johnny Saint stuff he does. Like when I went to the UK, I got to work with Johnny Saint a little bit and like to learn the little tricks, because I don't know why, like being a big person, it always fascinated me to be like a little bit more, be technical, like sure. the little guys. So it was like, that was always the thing that I enjoyed, but no, they were both great. They were both amazing matches. And just
Were there any guest coaches along the way that you particularly took a lot from? Like, you never know who you'll hear that might drop in at the PC or anything like that and just be mm-hmm. there for tapings or there to coach or anything like that along the way.
I didn't really, yeah. I mean, they're all great coaches there, but I think the people that really were like a surprise to me to see there. So we were on TV, Seth Rollins. He was like, he was watching the show, but thankfully I was on the show to be able to get his input, you know, because top dude, you want to know what they're thinking so you can like work on that. And then, so he watched the show. I got good input and feedback from him. But the other great one was Cody Rhodes after my main event match with Tyler Bate. I was in the locker room and I guess he was getting ready with he was doing something with Jey Uso, and I was just sitting in the locker room, you know, just watching the show on the TVs. He comes over, he was like, "Hey," he like daps me up a little bit. He was like, "Oh, that was good stuff out there. I really appreciate that." Because, you know, top dude, you know, like you don't want any, at WWE's hot, so you want everyone to be on their A game when they're out there. So when he came over to me and said like, "Hey, great job, you know, like you look like you belonged out there," and I was like, one of those things, like, let me pace myself real quick, you know what I mean? Cody Rhodes talking.
Yeah.
So so when he said that, it was one of those things, it was like, because, like, you know, you question yourself a lot in the wrestling business, if you're doing good, if you're doing the right things, or if people are enjoying what you're seeing. And then when Cody Rhodes came over to me, you know, and showed me some love in the locker room, I was like, all right, I'm doing something right, you know, just keep my head on straight, just stay focused, because, you know, the biggest dog in the company is, you know, showing you love, so you must be doing something right. And then, yeah, that was pretty cool. That was another good thing about being able to go up on those main event matches, being around those top guys in the locker room, too.
So after you had announced that you would be leaving WWE, they did the parking lot segment. Yeah. What was your reaction to seeing that? Because that's sort of like a rib as well, that the parking lot always claims another victim.
Yeah, the parking lot is a deadly place. yeah, like I said, I got the call on Monday, and then I was just, obviously, you just don't go on the TV, because if you're not being resigned. And then, so I guess like the guys are telling me, and I was just being told like, hey, we don't know what we're doing yet. We're just like waiting around because like we don't have a script or anything like that. So I'm assuming that like they had to like flip flop a lot of things, because like right when I was called, I just like announced that I was like not being resigned. Yeah. You know, so I don't know if they had to like flip flop a lot of things apart, I think, on that script, because they weren't telling them anything. And then, you know, I tuned in, I watched it, and I was like, oh, I gotta do it somehow. At least I didn't end up swimming with the fishes. But
yeah, you know. Yeah, you're not dead on their TV yeah. show as of yet. I'm just at least hiding, that we know I'm of.
Yeah, I'm hiding in the trunk until I get a hopefully another call to bust out.
What were your feelings when you saw that? Were you like, ah, at least it's that way?
You know, obviously it hurt, you know. I was like,
sure.
I was like, dang, man. I was like, you know, I was watching. I had to laugh about it. And I put a funny tweet out because me and Miles Bourne were pretty close. Mm-hmm. I just put a tweet out and I was like, oh, shout out to Miles Bourne for keeping the AC on for me and, you know, being in the trunk. I had a fun laugh with that. But I know, obviously it hurt because like you didn't expect it to be you, you know, being written off like that, you know. But I had to laugh about it, but I also had a few frowns about it. But I guess you got to write someone off somehow, you know.
Very, very early into your in-ring run, they had you feuding with Roderick Strong. And I mean, I know that the original point of Diamond Mine was to help elevate an awful lot of people with some at least legitimate skills in that regard. How was that working with him? I think you teamed with him and you ended up facing him quite a few times before joining Diamond Mine as well.
Yeah. So I think the one regret I have is not asking him a lot more questions about his work and, you know, just learning what wrestling was. Because at the time, dude, I think I was 5 months in when I got to Wrestling Diamond Mine. And, you know, I didn't know, like, the etiquette of, like, just, like, pick the veteran's brain and just, like, get to know their background and, you know, how they work, you know, what you can work on, you know, taking them aside and, like, getting in the ring with them. So I didn't really – I was still learning what the business was. So, like, I didn't know what to – like, how to approach them, like, asking, because I didn't want to seem like a bother. That's one thing that I do regret, because, like – like I said, I didn't come from a pro wrestling background. So like, I knew who the stars were growing up, but I wasn't the guy that was watching it religiously. It wasn't because I didn't like wrestling. It just wasn't what I was into at the time growing up. You know, so but now that I look back and I seen like, and I obviously wasn't watching NXT until like I started getting the hiring process, and I watched every show and every Monday and Friday night show. And then so like you look back now, you get to see what he did in like Undisputed Era, and just like going back and watch some of his matches, and I was like, man, I really wish I was able to like get in the ring with the guy and just like pick his brain and just like learn more, instead of just like, I'm saying I wasn't being nonchalant in any way or shape or form. It was just more so just like showing up to work and then doing what we had to do for promo or do the match and then just be done with it. So I wish I was able to just pick his brain more. I think that just came with inexperience too, just like not knowing what pro wrestling was and just how to go about it. But teaming with him, it was great. But just so much experience, because, like, you know, like I mentioned, 5 months in, you know, you tend to walk your matches through step by step. You know, a guy like that who's been doing it for so long with the pedigree he has, you know, he's not going to want to talk about everything step by step by step by step by step. So that was a big learning thing for me, too. It's just like, hey, when we go out there, you know, you don't necessarily have to call your shine in the back. You can, you know, call it out there, you know, but obviously his experience was way different than mine. So like, and then we did the things, the Great American Bash with the Creeds when, no, he didn't really call his heat. He just kind of went out there and just did it. You know, I was still new. So I'm like, hey, we're going to punch you here, do this, boom, 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 boom. Then, him doing it, he just went out there and did it. So I was like, oh crap. You know, this is like, if I can just learn to go out there and just like do it and like be able to call a lot of things out there, it would probably take like so much stress off in the back, having to be like, hey, cut off is this, I'm gonna punch you here, you're gonna roll here, I'm gonna punch you here, kick you here, versus just going out there and then just doing it. So it feels a lot more organic, and then plus it just takes so much stress off the back, because like the last thing for me was wanting my matches to look so choreographed. You know, I did not want that. So like I eventually got to the point, I'm sure a lot of people get to the point too, like it just comes with the learning of what wrestling is. Like, you're not going to be calling your matches in the out there, you know, when you're 2 months in, you know, brand new. So eventually just it helped me a lot with working with him just to like make it a point to like, even like on the house shows, just to like, hey, I'll call my shine to you out there. I'll call the heat to you out there. And if I be fucking up out there, my bad. I swear. I was like, if we screw it up out there, you know, it's a house show, but it's also a learning opportunity too. So, you know, yeah, being able to work with a guy like that, it really helped a lot. Even though he doesn't know it, it helped a lot.
You also have the endorsement of Gerald Briscoe, which, you know, does not come lightly. It does not come lightly in pro wrestling.
Yeah, great circles. Dude, so when I came down for my tryout, he came and watched. So he came and watched, and I did my tryout, and we went to Texas Roadhouse for dinner. They took me to Texas Roadhouse for dinner. And I remember it because I forgot what it was like, a little, like, a, you know, those little Texas Roadhouse things, you write your name on it. If you bring it, you get like a 2-for-1. Something, I don't know, it's a little card thing. I still have it saved because I always wanted to like be able to like come back to that with him. You know, hey, I remember like, you know, 10 years ago you took me to Texas Roadhouse. I still have the Texas Roadhouse little it literally just looked like this, but said Texas Roadhouse on it. And I remember the waitress gave it to us, and I remember I put it in my wallet and I saved it because I wanted to like, you know, something to like look back on when like having dinner with Briscoe. But yeah,
I mean, it's always great to see a guy that is revered like that endorsing you. Mm-hmm. I'm always interested in how NXT names are developed, because obviously you had a name that was familiar and they switched it to Damien Kemp. Did you have any input in that, or how did that process go?
I wanted to keep it. wanted to keep it because I was like, I felt like I already made a good name for myself before I got here. So I was like, why switch it? Like it was kind of like a restart. But so how they go about names is just like, you get closer to TV and they want to do something with you, they'll give you options for a name. So like what I did was, you send them a bunch of options, and if they like it, they don't, they just keep going events, or they'll pick something for you. So what I did was, I would write down, I typed in cool names for guys, first names, and they all popped up. So then I wrote them all down, and then I typed in cool last names for guys, and they all popped up. So I like wrote first and last names right here, and then I kind of just like drew a line here, drew a line there. Then I submitted them. And then it's funny because my other option for my first name was Diego. They were like, oh, you want to do Diego or Damon? And I was like, oh, I don't look like a Diego. I'll just do Damon. So I went with Damon, and then it was funny because literally as my name, like I did a 205 live with Andre Chase, and then I looked at like Twitter on like that Friday night, and I seen that there was a guy that murdered people in like Daytona. Oh. His name was Damon Kemp also.
Oh, and no.
And it was literally all over the news. And then I told one of the guys, I was like, hey, yo, you know, there's a, you know, a serial killer out there from Daytona named Damon Kemp, right? And like, should we change it? You know, this is a bad thing. And then, oh, no, I'll just leave it. It wasn't that big of a deal. Like, it didn't make that much news. I'm like, dude, look at NBC. It's on the news.
I'm looking now. Like, dude got life in prison.
Yeah. And I was like, the first thing they're going to see until I actually make a name for myself is a guy's mugshot with the same name as me.
Wild.
And yeah. So then I kept the name. So I was like, all right, cool. But yeah, that's how they do the names. You just pick a bunch of random names and hopefully whatever you throw out the wall sticks. That's how it went.
Were there any pitches or ideas that you wish would have came to fruition in NXT that maybe didn't?
Just everyone wants to win a belt, you know? Everyone wants to win a belt. But it was one of those things I would never go, you just don't go pitch, hey, man, I think I should win the championship tonight. And then that's just cringy.
That's an old Bob Holly story, because Bruce Pritchard is always like, yeah, Bob Holly would just say, I got an idea. Let me beat everybody and give me the belt.
Yeah. So I was like, obviously everyone wants a belt. But I was always pitching a lot of ideas. I pitched a lot. You know, even like when things were like going real good, I would still like pitch a lot of funny stuff, you know, just because like I wanted to show another side of myself, because like everyone knew I was serious. So it was just like, all right, how can I show another layer? Because like I could be funny. Like, I'm a funny person, you know, and I was pitching a lot more funny stuff. And then it took a little bit, but it just got a lot of things to work on. So, like, eventually, you know, with the group I was with before, we finally started to get some, like, to show some personality, like being able to open up and just, like, mess around in these pre-tapes, you know, without being serious. And, like, I think some of our best pre-tapes were when we were given the script, but we didn't really necessarily say everything that was on the script because we were just, like, joking around a lot. And it was, like, a lot of fun because we were all used to being serious. And then finally being able to, like, open up, and it was like, oh, this stuff feels to, like, you know, be a little bit more loose, not have to be a scrunched face up for a pre-tape. But, yeah, that was, yeah, I kind of rambled on there, but.
No. I mean, listen, we're here to hear you talk. Yeah. Before we wrap up, I saw you tweeting about NCAA 25. Who's your NCAA 25 team?
Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Well, I'm not a bandwagon. I'll give you guys that. So my dad's from Michigan. Uh-huh. And so another reason why I'm such a big Tom Brady fan, because Brady played for Michigan. So sure. Growing up, we would always hear about Tom Brady in Michigan. And then, you know, how big Michigan, they're still big, but even back then, I heard stories of, like, my dad getting mad, like, punching the refrigerator over the games and stuff like that. So it was like we were growing up, and we got family in Michigan, too. And then hear about Tom Brady, hear about Michigan. So we just grew up just, like, liking Michigan and then liking Tom Brady. So everyone always gives me crap. Oh, you only like Tom Brady because he wins. I was like, no, I was actually in first grade with my little matching Patriots gloves and my boots at recess, you know. So I went way back with it. Yeah, Michigan's my team, though.
Who's your NFL team? I mean, obviously, your brother was trying out for the Bills, was doing that throughout the summer. Do you have an NFL team?
The Vikings.
Figured because of the geographical location there.
Yeah, but before it was, people were trying to say I'm a bandwagon because I like the Patriots. I like the Patriots because of Tom Brady, but it wasn't like, it's not my fault he went on to win all those rings, you know? It ain't my fault. And then I was a Bucs fan, you know, once again, Tom Brady. I love Gronkowski also. And then now I was like, they're both retired. I was like, all right. So Vikings.
What did you think? I don't know if you were even there yet when Gronk did his WWE stuff. Did you hear the fables of his of how they taped his segment? I heard it took them quite a while. Oh my gosh, no. I heard it held up the WrestleMania tapings by like 2 hours trying to talk him into doing that spot where he jumped off.
Mm-hmm. Oh jeez,
that's wild.
I remember seeing close to it. I definitely didn't see it live though.
What is something you want the world to know about Bobby Stevenson that they might not know as you pursue free agency now? And you've said any ring, anywhere.
Oh, yeah, I do. So I'm a man of many talents. You know, my life was never determined by the squared circle or a wrestling mat. You know, me and my good friend, Ethan Carl, he's a country singer. You know, before it was like 4 years ago, I put a country song on YouTube. Just under Bobby Stevenson. So if you look it up, the song's called Ain't Gone. And I put that out. I was like in someone's basement. And I put it out because like, I'm a huge country music fan. And then so me and my boy Ethan Carl, we filmed the song last week. It's currently being mixed. And it's gonna drop within the next few weeks. Another big thing, I just signed with a talent agency. So I'm looking to be in TV shows, commercials, and possible movies. I just did a few reads for a few... as a police officer in a movie and then security guard in another movie. So just waiting to hear back if I get the role or not. But yeah, just man of many talents. You know, hopefully you see me on the screen, you know, giving someone a German suplex through the ceiling or, you know, in a fun role in a movie or a TV show or even a commercial. No.
Bobby Stevenson, it's been awesome. Can't wait to see what you do next. Guys, make sure you follow. Make sure you support this fella. Lots of cool stuff coming from music to the screen to in the ring. Bobby, thank you so much for joining us.
No, man, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Until next time, guys, we're out.